GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. After dozens of Russian warplanes were targeted over the weekend, negotiations between Russia and Ukraine stall out as military pressure ramps up. ABC's Martha Raddatz.
Russia reeling from Ukraine's astonishing and unprecedented drone attacks on military airfields all across Russia. Remarkable videos showing what Ukraine says are some of the more than 40 Russian warplanes, including nuclear-capable bombers, set ablaze. Estimated to be more than 30% of Russia's strategic bombers destroyed.
At least 7 people are injured after a magnitude 5.8 earthquake in the coastal town of Marmaris, Turkey. The Disaster and Emergency Management Presidency said the earthquake was centered in the Mediterranean Sea and struck just after 2:15 a.m. local time. It was felt in the nearby Greek island of Rhodes. Earthquakes are frequent in Turkey because it is located on major fault lines. This is ABC News.
This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On to Cincinnati. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers at Great American Ballpark tonight to open a 3-game set against the Cincinnati Reds, the crew coming off a 5-2 win over the Phillies yesterday to complete the sweep, but they lost designated hitter Christian Yelich, hit by a pitch from the Phillies left-hander Ranger Suarez in the first inning.
Yeah, he got me pretty good. I hit the knob a little bit, just crushed the bottom of my hand also, so it is what it is. That stuff happens, but swelled up and made it tough to grip the bat. And, you know, it's your bottom hand, so. You don't have that. It's not strong enough, so made it tough.
X-rays after the game were negative. In golf, Maya Stark of Sweden, the winner of the Women's U.S. Open at Erin Hills in Wisconsin. She says she reached out to her coach at the start of the week for some last-minute pointers.
You know, I had my coach here this week, and I texted him a couple of things, and I said, what do I do if my putting feels like this? And he just nailed the advice this week.
That's golfer Maya Stark with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Feeling better is about feeling all kinds of things. You want to feel healthy, sure. But you also want to feel heard and understood, valued, even, well, loved. That's what we want, too. We're Amplify Health, and we think the best way to care for someone is to care about them. That's why all our treatments include a little empathy. Welcome to healthcare that's all about caring. Welcome to Amplify Health by Belen. A little empathy changes everything.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Evidently, Donald Trump says he's on a mission from God. I saw the post over the weekend. It was one of those things going, really? I thought that was John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd. I thought that was the Blues Brothers. No, evidently Donald Trump thinks that, well, you know, whatever's coming, nothing can stop what's coming because evidently he's God. And are we surprised? Are we shocked that he has this messy, this God complex? Are we shocked by it? No, we shouldn't be. Nothing that we see should be surprising. And to be honest, I had a couple people send it to me, going, "Do you believe this?" I go, "Yeah, I believe it. Of course, I believe it." Hello, have you not been paying attention? Nobody's ever told this guy no. There's never been any real consequences for any of his criming. So, yeah, he's going to go through life thinking he's way up there. And look, it's the same thing with Joni Ernst. Over the weekend, you had a bunch of people all enraged that, you know, Joni Ernst did a town hall. And, you know, when confronted with the massive Medicaid cuts that are in the bill, hundreds of billions of dollars, she responded by saying, well, you know, we're all going to die. The quote was, because people were saying, oh, you know, these cuts are going to cause people to die. And she wanted to start with the lie, which are, you know, people are not, well, we're all going to die. So for heaven's sakes, folks, yeah, we're all going to die. Some of us much sooner, especially when you take their health care away. When you're talking about millions of people who are going to lose their health care, yeah, that's kind of part of it. But here's the weird thing, and this is where, you know, I wanted to start today because it's been really bugging me. Because we've known who the Republicans are. We know who Joni Ernst is. We know who the people pushing this stuff. We know who they are. They don't care about you. They don't care about working people. They don't. And they're honest. Look, they're now feeling emboldened to just not even keep up the lie anymore. Yeah, you're all going to die. Some of you sooner than later. And it's just because you weren't born in the right zip code. It's because you weren't lucky enough to have the right insurance. Sorry. Better luck next time. And, you know, so I see this shocking, completely unforeseen, shocking CNN poll that points out that Americans think both parties are useless, or about as useful as a screen door on a submarine. Because look, when Democrats had a chance to really do things, they only did them halfway, if barely at all. Because, well, you know, we got to balance. What this poll shows, a record number of people now believe that the government should do things, should do more to fix problems. Hello? So here, this is the weird thing. This is the weird thing. I guess the issue. Nobody really trusts either party to actually do anything. And I know, shocking, I know. And it turns out that, you know, when you have one party that's trying to drag us back into the good old days of the 1880s, 1890s, the Gilded Age, of massive, massive, enormous wealth inequality, and the other party stuck in a group chat over pronouns and vibes, I don't know, people lose faith. And according to the poll, more than 4 in 10 Americans say neither party can get those things done. Can't get things done, or that they don't have strong leaders. And that's Trump too. And it sounds about right, considering we've been stuck in this loop of thoughts and prayers and tax breaks for billionaires. And, well, you know, we'll get to it next time. We've been hearing that for several decades now. So when I saw that 58% of Americans want government to do more, a 30-year high, I'm like, well, maybe people are starting to get tired of being told that, well, you just got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That's how you get through a system built like a casino that only pays out if you're already rich. Yeah. Meanwhile, you have the Republican Party, which is still, oddly enough, still slightly better at pretending to be competent. These last couple of months, not so much so. And I guess it's because, well, they got Fox News. And they yell louder and they smile nicer. And, you know, they have nice props when they're lighting regulations on fire and firing people. They got chainsaws. It's much better TV. Democrats are just kind of meh. And the weird thing is even Republicans' edge on things like the economy and immigration slipping, because most Americans are going, no, they're not doing anything. And the Republicans' main selling point is, hey, we're not the Democrats. Which, to be fair, Democrats' main selling point is we're not the Republicans. The poll also shows nearly half of Americans don't believe that working hard leads to success anymore. Shock. I'm surprised it's that low. Now, not great news for the self-hope bros who are pushing that grind set culture. You know, Elon said you've got to work 100 hours a week. You live to work kind of mentality. Because look, working 70 hours a week, two jobs, doesn't even buy a house anymore. What it buys you is back pain and, well, expired ramen. As for that American dream we all grew up believing it was someday possible if we just put the elbow to the grindstone, put some work in. Yeah, that's more of a myth than reality at this point, especially if you're under 30 years old and not white and rich. You're more likely to believe in Bigfoot than the idea that hard work in this country actually pays off. And let's not forget the cherry on the top. 72% of Americans think racial diversity enriches America, which I believe. I believe diverse thoughts, diverse cultures, ideas, all that stuff. Good for us. Great. But nearly half of Republican-aligned men, they think it's a threat, proving once again that the scariest thing to some people is sharing. Oh, and democracy, you may ask? Apparently still circling the drain as half of the country says it's under attack. But naturally, Republicans only cared about that when Biden was in charge. Yeah, now everything's when it really is. When you've got someone who may replace voting ballots with NFTs, they don't seem to care. So here we are. We're stuck in this moment where you have a party that wants to take away your health care and burn books, and a party that holds 17 press conferences to decide what their font on their climate policy should be. Neither party really, honestly, and truthfully represents the wants, the needs, the hopes, the dreams of a working class. Because newsflash, that prosperous working class seems to be something of past generations. And this is why I agree with Tim Walz, who over the weekend said, you know, we got to find some guts. Got to fight for working people. Got to have some policies. He said the party of the working class lost a big chunk of the working class. That last election was a primal scream on so many fronts. And I agree with him. The primal scream is we need health care. The primal scream is we need education. We need investments in infrastructure and all of the things that we've been talking about for years. And Democrats, this is the weird part of this. Democrats are on the right side of. That's the part that gets me. Now, another CNN poll points out that people aren't on the mindset that both parties are the same. Yeah, we want a government that works. Sadly, what we're constantly fed is that, you know, our government's a flaming clown car, and the two drivers, you know, they're just blaming each other, and we're stuck in the truck, when the reality is no. Republicans have had their hands firmly on the levers of power for decades. And they've known how to game the system. Where Democrats still playing Mother May I, following the rules. What Trump has shown is there's no rule that they're willing to honor. Now you go, but both parties are the same, Rick. No, nope. According to this new CNN poll, no. Nope. In fact, 81%, which I would say is a pretty good majority, they say that they see very important differences between the two parties, which is a pretty sizable increase over just 2 years ago. Just 18% say the parties are pretty much the same, down from 28% in 2023. And according to the poll, roughly a third, going back to 2002. So the parties aren't the same. I'm told this a lot. I'm told, well, they're both bad. And look, I got a friend. He loves to fashion himself a centrist. He's in the middle of the road, and yet all he sends me is right-wing news clips. Everything, every argument he makes, everything he sends at me, it's cited with a right-wing source for his argument. And he bites on every clickbait scandal that's out there. For instance, over the weekend sent me a thing about, you know, is Cory Booker going to apologize for his Nazi salute? And you go, Nazi salute? I said, now I got to go Google Booker salute. And there's Cory Booker doing the, you know, hey, thank you, all from my heart, you know, thank you. And that's the same as the Elon Musk. No, not the same. Two differences. One, the elbow's a little bit bent and not the kind of rigidity that you would expect from the one that you got from Elon. But two, the context of the speech. One very militaristic, fascistic, and the other not. So for me, context does matter, even though we're in this, you know, microsecond media, in this clickbait media that, oh my gosh, you know, I found this. And look, you probably found me doing this once or twice. Yeah, hey, how are you? Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks. Yeah, hey, thanks. He just did the... No. No. Stop. But here's the thing. I don't care. I don't care. I didn't care when Musk did it because I expect it from Elon Musk. And this is where my point is. We know who these people are. They keep telling us over and over and over again who they are, what they are, what they want, what they're going to do. And we keep falling for the clickbait. And until we stop, like me and my friend, we send things back and forth. And it turns into this, well, your side did this, my side did that, your side. No, we got to stop that. Because the reality is there are things, and look, the CNN poll shows, people want government action. People want a government that works. And look, the people who I've talked to who support what Trump is doing, they're going, well, at least he's doing something. And it plays into my belief that, you know, if you throw a drowning man an anchor, he's going to grab it. Because the working class of this country has been screwed for so long, they're looking for someone to fight for them. Even if it's someone, yeah, who's going to make their lives worse. And Trump will. I go back to Joni Ernst. Yeah, you're going to die anyway. What do you need health care for? What do you need? What do you need any of that stuff for? This is basically what they're telling us. So for me, where my mind has been this weekend is, you know, while I was going back and forth, like I said, with my friend, I'm like, you know, this is just, it's pointless. It's fruitless. And it isn't actual debate. We don't debate. We don't discuss. And I miss the days when we did. I miss the days when it was about making lives better as opposed to scoring points. As if it's some kind of a game that, hey, I can win. No, no. On both sides of the conversation, the working class is losing. On both sides of the equation, the working class is getting stiffed. Life is not getting better for the majority of Americans. And yet, they're telling us, hey, government, our government, a government of, for, and by, we the people, do our will. Do what we need to get done. Now, you go, but Rick, you know, what is that? You know, a country of 330 million people. Everyone's got, diversity you just said was good. What is that? Well, what is that is, I don't care where you come from. When I talk to people at diners or bars or bus stops or wherever, and I try my full hearty best to talk to everybody, drives my kids nuts. I want to know what they're thinking. I want to know what their hopes, their dreams, their wants, their needs are. Like our politicians should be doing. I know Republicans are listening to their constituents. Because we see it in this big, beautiful bill. Tax cuts for rich people. That's really what it's about. They're enriching the already wealthy. They're taking care of their constituents. The working class of this country has been sold on the idea that the Republicans' constituents actually care about them. And that eventually they'll trickle down a little something to keep everyone afloat. Not going to happen. Democrats need to do a much better job of getting their message out. And look, Kamala Harris had a reasonable message, was talking about important issues, never broke through because we've got a clickbait media of people who only want to talk about, I gotcha. And they've never built their messaging arm. So I said all during the campaign, Joe Biden could have had the best message ever, could have had the best material ever. If you can't deliver it and you don't have a stage to perform it for, what does it matter? And this is what Republicans have understood for decades. So for me, it comes down to a bunch of things. One, Democrats need to do a much better job of getting out and telling their story. But two, they need to build infrastructure. They need to do something. because Republicans are not just eating their lunch, they're destroying our democracy. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Gonna take a quick break. Right back after this.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So evidently, Elon Musk got punched in the eye, had a black eye over the weekend. Turns out his kid did it. I don't know that I buy it. I don't know any father who go, yeah, come on, punch me. Go ahead, punch me. Do it. And then is surprised when the kid does it. but evidently, Trump agreed that the kid probably punched him in the eye. And you know what? I don't care. What is interesting is watching the decoupling of Musk and Trump as Doge didn't work out. The way they sold it, it worked for what their backroom deal was. Massive transfer of data and information and ultimately wealth, because Musk is going to take full advantage of all of that. But didn't materialize into the massive Doge checks that a lot of my Red Hat friends thought was going to come by stealing, what they thought was, waste, fraud, and abuse from those Democrats. I can't tell you how many times I've had people tell me that. But it's interesting watching Musk now trying to find his way, because he doesn't agree with what the administration's doing. And he said, in an interview over the weekend on CBS, that he says, I'm in a little stuck in a bind, he said, where I'm like, well, I don't want to speak up against the administration, but I also don't want to take responsibility for everything the administration's doing. Because I think he gets that he may be the fall guy. And if you remember, at the beginning of the bromance, I was saying, for me, the fun is going to be in watching the breakup. What's the divorce going to look like? How ugly is that going to get? And, what happens? If the big, beautiful bill goes down, is this Musk's fault? I don't know. I think Musk is a perfect poster child for a 92% top marginal tax rate. I do think that. And Democrats, if you need a message, there's a good start. That, someone like Elon Musk, with the kind of wealth and power that he's abused, is kind of a good selling point on why we shouldn't have people like Elon Musk with the kind of wealth and power that he got to abuse. Just throwing that out there. Now, you've got Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, over the weekend saying that that you can underscore what he's going to say. You can underscore what he's about to tell us. There are no Medicaid cuts in the big, beautiful bill. Bill, he said, we're not cutting Medicaid, he said. Nope. Nobody, none of the nearly 5 million people who are going to lose their health insurance are going to lose it because of Mike Johnson. Nope. And he said, it's not going to add to the debt either. Nope, none of that's going to happen. And that if the big, beautiful bill goes down, which, I got to tell you, there's part of me, looking at what's going on in the Senate that, not sure. But he's out there saying it's going to be the biggest tax increase in history. Now, I've got some Democratic friends who say, well, Trump's tariffs. I don't know. When that hits, as badly as he's butchered that. And yes, I know. I've said before, I'm a tariff guy. Just not the way this idiot's using it. Now, I do find it interesting that you got Rand Paul and Ron Johnson. Rand Paul, I actually believe. When Rand Paul says the math doesn't really add up and that the cost of the big, beautiful bill is going to be enormous, and that he says, I think they're asking for too much money. I think he believes that. I think he'll stand by it. I don't know that he backs up. I think he's a lot like Thomas Massie in that way. Now, Ron Johnson, I don't believe a word that comes out of Ron Johnson's mouth, because we've seen this kind of bait and switch. I look like I'm in here fighting, but I'm going to fall in line when the time comes. The report, and I love the report that, you know, Ron Johnson's doubling down on his concerns about a bill that would make sweeping changes to taxes, Medicaid, food stamps, and more. And I'm going, no, I'm not buying it from Ron Johnson, no. Now, Johnson said it's completely unsustainable of the big, beautiful bill. And he says, I want to see him succeed. I guess he means Trump. But again, my loyalty is to the American people, to my kids and grandkids. We cannot continue to mortgage their future. But we can, you know, steal health care from those poor people. He didn't say that part. That was me adding into when I know when this passes and they get enough cuts, savings, that's what they're going to point to, that they were able to get enough savings, which means savings is code word for dead poor people. That it really is. When you're talking about taking health care from 5 million, some 5 million people, and potentially more, and raising the costs on everybody else, which means more people could conceivably lose their care because, well, they can't afford it. It's all bad. It's all bad. And they're selling it like, oh, no, what we know is there isn't really there. They're selling it like what, you know, what we've told you time and time again isn't really what it is. When the reality is, it's exactly what it is. This administration is robbing Peter to pay Elon. They're robbing poor people to pay rich people. This is Robin Hood in reverse, pure and simple. And along the way, they're enriching themselves. And I got to tell you, I like what George Stephanopoulos did over the weekend. He fired off his show with, a scathing accusation of corruption by Trump and his family. And understand, that took some real courage. Because understand, ABC agreed to pay, what was it, $15, $16 million to settle a defamation shakedown suit. And this time, you know, he came with some points. The reality is the Trump family is lining their pockets in enormous ways. And they're not even hiding it. This is the thing that gets me. They're not attempting to hide it. And even Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, said, well, you know, the Bidens, they were trying to do things through the back door. Donald Trump's doing it right out in front of you. Yeah, he's picking your pocket right in front of you. He's stealing food out of the mouths of your children right in front of you. He's destroying the jobs in this country for a good number of working people right in front of you. And this big, beautiful disaster of a nightmare bill going to make that much worse. You know, let's forget about all of his crypto and NFT and, you know, vulture capitalists and all the big, beautiful plane. Forget about that stuff. Think about the changes that he's making to the 401k system, for instance. We're going to allow them to gamble on, crypto? Going to allow pension funds to gamble on crypto? Going to allow privatization and, you know, vulture capitalists to get their hands, going to get their paws on that as well? Are you kidding? Also, they're going to ease the rules on big banks. They're going to relax how much cushion they need in times of crisis to absorb potential losses. So they're going to make, and this is the weird thing, because everyone goes, you know, it's going to happen again. They've basically undone the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. So where we've gotten rid of the one little watchdog that was there. And now you're lessening the amount of reserves that banks have to have and the cushion to absorb the losses. And that they, you know, so that they can remain solvent during economic downturns. Really? That we're going to do that? Yeah, we're going to do that. because this is about the moneyed interest getting every last wet dream list thing they can think of so that they can take advantage, full advantage of every crisis that they cause. But I know. Her emails, the bathroom. So while we're standing in bread lines or at soup kitchens, if they are allowed to be open, at least we have someone to blame. Hillary, right? Isn't that who we blame for all this stuff still? I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Are you seeing the corruption? Is Stephanopoulos right? I personally believe this administration, and look, predicted it at the beginning of the term, going to be the most corrupt administration in the history of this country. And they are not disappointing. Not a one bit. But I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Right back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a little hazy, and lows in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a few showers and thunderstorms, highs upper 70s. On Wednesday, early clouds, then some clearing, high near 75. Currently at 75 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, the Trump administration doing some cleanup work, actually. RFK Jr. and the folks over at HHS have done such a bad job that the Trump folks have had to send some, I can't even believe I'm going to say this, some like fact checkers in, or some, you know, some rewrites. It's been reported that the administration has sent some folks in to clean up that Make America Healthy Again Commission, you know, that error-riddled report that a lot of people are not going, so where did you dream this stuff up and which orifice did you pull it out of? Because it's drawn some weird conclusions. And look, ultimately, the hope is that they do. So, the hope is that the rest of the medical establishment go, how did kooks and quacks get in charge of the Department of Health and Human Services and really actually do some real educating of their patients? Now, as we talked about last week, there were a number of errors, a number of citations that quite questionable or didn't exist at all. The number now is at least 18 of the original report citations. They've been edited or swapped or, well, you know, changed. Because, hey, when someone notices, you know. And look, you know, the reality is, I said this from the beginning, there's going to be a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of destruction, a lot of broken stuff. But out of it, you know, we're going to have better solutions, I hope. I hope people are paying attention to this. For instance, you've got the CDC contradicting what RFK Jr. has said on vaccines for kids. Again, one of these scenarios where you want doctors and parents being able to make decisions. You've got Kennedy saying, no, you don't need healthy kids to get corona vaccines as part of their immunization schedules. Well, according to the CDC, they're saying, you know, maybe you should think about it. And between you and your doctor, come up with that decision. Yeah. Also, they're removing fluoride from water. I guess that's going to happen because now there's a new report out that says chances are it's going to cost us billions of dollars because we're going to have kids with rotten teeth. The consequences are within the next 5 years, they're estimating 7.5% more kids between, zero and 19 years old. They're going to get cavities affecting about 25.4 million additional teeth. Going to cost the country about $10 billion. And in a country where dental care is not, certain for most people, that's coming out of working people's pockets. Now, the good thing is, as I understand, Medicaid, especially for children on CHIP, does cover teeth. So maybe this will be, okay. Like where we live, we have well water, so it's not something that you can do that. Our dentist actually gave the kids a prescription for fluoride to take to ensure that, that their teeth don't rot out of their heads. But again, we're going to have to learn the lessons. Also, the Trump administration, as they're cutting funding for stuff, evidently we now find out that they're cutting a wide array of HIV vaccine research programs. So, hey, let's make people dying from HIV great again. Because ultimately, it's who they are. Now, as I said a moment ago, I do believe with all of the craziness, with all of the kookery going on and internet crackpots and Fox News cranks leading our government, the sane and rational amongst us are going to eventually pop our heads up and go, how crazy is this? We actually should do something better. And to point back to what I started off today's show with, Americans want their government to do something. So this is a chance for Democrats especially, because they're the ones who believe that government can and should do things. And I find it interesting that Republicans vote for a party that tells them that government shouldn't or can't or won't do anything, and yet they expect government to do something. It's really remarkable for me. But here's the thing. The positive that could come out of all of this insanity is that we could finally wake up one day and go, you know what? We do need a national healthcare plan. We do need national insurance. I have said for years, I'm a big supporter of Medicare for All. I am a big supporter of one giant insurance pool. Everybody in the same pool. No lucky folks over here. No unlucky folks over there. Everybody in the same pool. Everyone gets the same quote-unquote insurance. And everybody pays into the pot. We mitigate the risks by putting everybody in. Healthy people, young people, all of that. Because what we've got now is a weird kind of bizarre system of the moneyed interests, the for-profit folks, the nonprofits who are really kind of for-profit, they get to cover the healthy people. So we've got CEOs making millions of dollars denying people access to essential tests and care and all kinds of stuff, and have really outweighed power in our health care system. The health insurance system is one thing. The care system, completely something else. And I've talked about this before. Look, when my wife was in the one hospital, they told us, our average stay here is about 16 days. So, plan on being moved to a skilled nursing facility, which is a nursing home. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's probably not going to happen. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. So after, about a month, they come to us and go, we're going to have to start moving your lunch. She's been here a lot longer than what is our norm. And this we got into that place sometime at the end of October. This was the beginning of December. And because of the insurance that I'm fortunate enough to have, and because I don't take no for an answer, we left that facility sometime in the middle of February because I'm pretty demanding. But again, I come back to, I'm really fortunate with the health insurance that I have, because they went to bat for me as well. You got to wonder, though, if I've got one of those other ones, maybe the one where the CEO was shot, maybe some of the other ones, the lesser ones, Yeah, does that happen? And I'm gonna go out on a limb and I think no. I think they're throwing us out on, and I've got to do a whole bunch of weird things. So for me, and look, I've talked to numerous people. Everyone agrees our health care system is broken, but the insurance system, much worse broken. We can all complain about how the healthcare, you know, is consolidated and how, you know, they run things on a flow chart and, you know, all of that stuff. But it's the insurance industry that's got so much power in this. It's the power of the money. And we know the system's broken. We know the high costs are too much. We know the insurance industry's taking too much to line their pockets. We know that there are bureaucratic hurdles that make healthcare for a lot of people inaccessible and for too many unaffordable. What we do need is a universal health insurance system. Now, some are saying, no, we need universal health care. I don't know that I'm not on board with that. I don't want government-owned hospitals like the VA. I know people who swear by the VA and it's a great system and all that. I'm more of, you know, I want an insurance system that's going to pay doctors to help take care of me, give me the choices of going to a bunch of different doctors. And start breaking up some of the consolidation. But if we did have a universal insurance system, think of the financial stress that working families wouldn't have to endure. Think of the medical bankruptcies that wouldn't happen. And oh, by the way, if you had a system that said, you know, maybe go to the doctor often, get preventative care, you might have, I don't know, a healthier community. And oh, by the way, If we're paying the costs of healthcare, maybe we do something about some of the externalities. Maybe we're doing, you know, better things on food production, on all kinds of stuff. Maybe we do things now instead of waiting down the road like the system is set up now. You've got the healthy folks who have jobs, and they go to work and they get health care, and it's not great, but it's enough for some. But as soon as they get sick and they can't work, who picks up the tab? The taxpayers. And this is why I got to tell you, the more I talk to people, especially in the situation that I'm in, the more I realize that public support for this is growing. You know, look at the response that happened when the CEO got shot and all the people who were out there going, "Free Luigi," of which, you know, I'm not saying I condone what he did. I just understand it. And understand, as RFK Jr. and the Trump administration and Mike Johnson and all the Republicans do what they want to do, and Joni Ernst says, they're going to die anyway, there's got to be some political momentum to go, no, we don't want to die early. We want health care. We want to make sure that things get done. And look, I bought into the ACA as incremental. That this is the beginning. It's the best that they were going to get at the time. I wanted Medicare for all right then and there. I was pushing for it, but it's what we got. And I've always been a believer in, you know, you get the art of the possible. That at the time is what was possible. When you got people like Trader Joe Lieberman and that ilk, of course you're not going to get what you need and what you want. You take what you can and then you build on it, much like what happened with Medicare. Medicare was not what it is now when it started. People demanded that it got better. And this is the part that's shocking to me, because I know a lot of people who have ACA plans and they complain that they're not great. Yet the political push isn't there, especially from Republicans who have voted like a gazillion times to do away with it. So for me, let Trump and Kennedy and the rest of them do what they're going to do, because they're going to do it anyway. But out of it, Democrats, hello, here's your opportunity to open the window and go, hey, working class, we got your back. We got an issue that's important to every one of you in the working class. And we're going to honor what Obama said. You won't lose your doctor. You get the care you need, because we're going to pass a national insurance plan. Everybody's going to be in the giant pool. Everybody. And if you do that, you push in that direction with the message, with the very simple message of, look, healthcare is it's a human right. It is a right, not a privilege that should be tied to some employment or some profit motive. It should be a right. You get sick. You got the, when you get into trouble, you got the right to see a lawyer. I get sick. I don't have the right to see a doctor. How insane is that? And the reality is Medicare for All would save working families an enormous amount of money, time, stress, paperwork, all kinds of stuff, and potentially raise wages. Because the massive amount of money that we're spending on health insurance, more than double a lot of other countries, industrialized countries around the world, you could probably put into your pocket. But here's the thing. We need collective action. We need people to vote. We need this to be their issue. Understand, if we want a healthier, more secure working class, we need benefits like Medicare for All to make people's lives better. So in the interim, what we need to be doing is building on that. Take the outrage of the crazy that's coming out of this administration. Take the outrage of Mike Johnson and the Republicans ramming through something that's going to take health care from some 5 million people and raise costs on everyone else. Take that and use it. Use it to build momentum. Use it to build and organize. Because the reality, they're going to do it anyway. Use it. And then build public awareness and public support. We've got to be educating people when bad things happen to us. It's not recede back into the closet or into the darkness and suffer in silence. It's get out there and share the stories of people going bankrupt because of medical debt. Share the stories of people going, hey, you know, I can't take another job that I would really like because, well, I got health insurance and I got a sick kid. Share those stories of the massive increases in healthcare costs. And then mobilize, activate, engage. If there's not a community group in your neighborhood, start one. If there's not a union pushing for it, get involved in it. This is where we, the people, a government of, for, and by, we, the people, can act. And for Democrats, hello, this is your issue. This is your issue. Own it. You know, the sad reality is when the ACA was passed, you saw a lot of Democrats ducking for cover. Instead of going out there saying, yep, you bet you're behind, I voted for this. And I'd vote for it again because we need this and better. This was the best we could get. Help me make it better. No. You know, you got the other side ducking cover. When you learn about what's in it, you'll like it. No. Stand and fight for it. Now, again, you know, the fight for me should be between universal, you know, government-owned hospitals and government-employed doctors and a system of private health care and public health insurance. That's kind of where I'm at to start because I think it's possible. I don't think in this country we would go for, I don't think we'd go for a true universal system. I just don't. Because we've been trained like Pavlovian dogs to distrust government at every opportunity. But understand, the next year and a half, as Republicans are doing what they want to do, as they fulfill their wet dream list, of which this big, beautiful disaster, and for Democrats, this is a big, beautiful bill. There's a lot of stuff in there to attack Republicans on and tell the working class, these are your Republican priorities. Here's your moral document, 1,118 pages of screw you. And then vote for people who are going to say, hey, you know, we're going to pass that. We're going to get you. We're going to stand by it. And we're going to get Medicare for All so that someone like me who, look, I may have to retire early. And it'll probably make me go broke because I can't get health insurance. But someone's got to stay home and care for my wife. And do I trust someone making, you know, what they pay? No. And none of us should have to. We should be paying those people a lot more. But the system isn't set up for that. But I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Do you think Medicare for All could pass? Do you think a universal plan could pass? Or are you solidly in the, no, I love my job health care. The benevolent employer gives me exactly what I deserve. I want to hear your thoughts. Back after this.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
I gotta tell you, I'm old enough to remember when the president wasn't a kook. I mean, think about this. Trump shared a post that alleged that Joe Biden was executed in 2020. So nothing Joe Biden did. This is weird because everything's Joe Biden's fault, but he was executed and it wasn't really him. No. He was replaced by clones and robotic engineered soulless, mindless entities. Oh, man. Replaced. One place where Biden has been replaced, well, at least Biden's name has been replaced. Up just a little bit, about an hour north of where I live, there's the Susquehanna Bridge Project that was funded by Biden's Infrastructure and Jobs Act. Well, don't you know Donald Trump slapped his name right on it? Yeah. So what the sign... Now, look, there had been a little sign there that, of course, the workers pushed over so that nobody saw it. There's a big honking sign that says, "This brought to you by Donald Trump." When, no, it wasn't. In fact, Trump doesn't even have an infrastructure plan. What he's actually doing is defunding projects like that, costing people to lose their jobs, costing, industries to stop investing because, well, Biden's name was on it. It's the weirdest thing. Now, look, I think that Susquehanna Bridge project will get done, and it's really going to change that region of this state in pretty miraculous ways. There's like a bridge to nowhere that's just making places somewhere. It's an amazing bridge that they've built. And the road that they're putting is going to just tie the whole northern tier of the state to the rest of the state. That will be good for industry. Maybe not for the people who live there now, but for the future, going to be a good thing. Now, the weird thing is as I said, Trump doesn't really have an infrastructure plan. Unless you look at his disaster capitalist investment plan, which is the Big Beautiful Parade. It's being reported that the Big Beautiful Parade with, what was it again? 28 M1A1 Abram tanks at 70 tons each. 28 Stryker armored personnel carriers, more than 100 other vehicles, a World War II era B-25 bomber, 6,700 soldiers, 50 helicopters, 34 horses, a mule, a dog, and a partridge in a pear tree. Yeah, all of that just there for Trump's 79th birthday and to stoke his ego. What they're estimating that's going to cost, well, like $45 million to do it, but about $16 million has been earmarked for cleaning up the damage that'll be done. As the tanks are going down the main road, they're putting steel plates in places, because you're gonna have to shore up, different parts of the roads, because you don't want 140,000 pound M1A1 Abrams tanks rolling down, the main drag there, only to be swallowed up by a giant sinkhole. Would that not be the worst possible outcome? And wouldn't that be one of those things where you go, that makes us look weak. Maybe don't put 140,000 pound vehicles on a road that you don't allow 80,000 pound vehicles. Maybe just a thought. But that's our infrastructure. That's our infrastructure bill. Oh, we're just gonna blow. We're gonna make let things deteriorate and break. And not invest where we should. And look, I've been saying for years we need to invest in our rail. In fact, there was just a story the other day over at Fox News caught my attention that after the 2023 East Palestine train derailment, you know, the one that had toxic chemicals blown into the air and into our water. It's being reported that the lawsuit being filed is claiming that everything we were told was a lie. You know, all the, hey, everything's safe. It's all good. You can go back to your homes. Damn lie. This new lawsuit says that the health damage is way worse than our government or Norfolk Southern ever admitted. They're saying that the CDC, EPA, and over 50 other organizations, including hospitals and cleanup services, are accused of covering it all up. The families who lived in that community are still sick. They've got migraines, brain fog, memory loss, all kinds of things. The claim is that kids are falling behind. And now we learn that, well, a number of these agencies may have been told and may have told doctors not to test for certain chemical exposures. Is it criminal? Yeah, maybe. Did they betray us? Yeah, maybe. We'll see what happens, what comes out in court. But here's the thing. Working class families don't have lobbyists and the kind of cash that buy agencies. And especially with the Trump administration, you think they're going to dig into any of this? This, again, is why we need working class voices in Congress. And what do we see now? Last week, we talked about the Association of American Railroads and their push to deregulate more of the major freight rail carriers. 66 regulatory rollbacks, if I remember. Everything from allowing single-person train crews. Yeah, trains as long as 5 miles. One guy. One guy. They want to replace required manual inspections. You know, don't worry about the braking system or the signals or the track infrastructure. We got automation for that. We can have a drone or something. We can, you know. They want to eliminate recently enacted rules requiring signalmen and dispatchers to be certified to actually know what they're doing. Instead of going, hey, buddy, you know what red looks like, right? Yeah, go on. You're a signalman now. It's crazy. Also, they want to reduce the frequency and scope of federally mandated safety inspections. Again, they'll tell you these are job-killing regulations. But all of those, from top to bottom, potentially people-killing lack of. And I look at East Palestine as the cautionary tale. Now, do we have one of those every day? No, but we do have derailments almost every day. And from what I'm told, sometimes two or three. So this is one of those things, again, that working people should be paying attention to, because we live in those communities. There's a train that goes by not too far from where I live. Would I want a derailment? No. And neither would you. This, again, is why we need sane, rational, worker-centric regulations. Things that are going to protect all of us, not just the bottom lines of corporate America. This is what this administration is doing, folks. And the American Railroad Association, they know who they got elected. And I'll bet you they get some of these. They've been fighting for that single-person crew for over a decade. I think 12, 13 years now. It's a shame. It's a shame. And look, they may get it. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you miss any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcast. You'll find ours. And as always, thanks so much for being here. See you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. At rick@thericksmithshow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show. where working people come to talk.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. The 71st edition of the Fortune 500 list contains some newcomers at the bottom, but the top five have remained essentially unchanged. ABC's Jim Ryan says corporate America is undergoing a shift in the corner office.
Never before have so many Fortune 500 companies been led by women, 55 altogether. The list includes Mary Barra of General Motors, Jane Fraser of Citigroup, and Carol Tomei, the chief executive officer at UPS.
City officials in Madison, Wisconsin, joined members of the LGBTQ community to raise the pride flag high over the city county building Monday as Pride Month gets underway across the country. Dane County Supervisor Rick Rose spoke briefly on the significance of city leaders raising the flag and calling residents to action to protect vulnerable LGBTQ members.
When we stand together, validating everyone's lived experience under the same pride flag, we're not just honoring our past struggles, we're also building a future.
This is ABC News. Week 4.